to start recording, and then if Jerry joins us, we'll let him in.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open the June 22nd meeting of the Marysville Planning Commission to order at this time. I think we better have a roll call, Chris, I suppose.
Sure. Commissioner Thetford?
Yes.
Commissioner Michael?
Yes.
Commissioner Whitaker?
Here.
Commissioner Hohen?
Yes.
And Chair Leifer?
Yes. Noting everyone here is then, except Commissioner Andes, I'm not sure whether he's going to show up or not, but maybe he'll enter here soon. I see Peter's here. I haven't heard anything new. Are you now one of our buddies here?
No, Peter's here for item number 2 on the agenda.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome. Noting all of that, I'm going to ask the commissioners if you had an opportunity to read the minutes of our last meeting, the 8th of June. Do you have any comments or corrections to be made on those?
I'd just like to state the minutes. However, I'm abstaining from voting because I wasn't here.
Okay.
No comments here, Chair.
If everybody else good, I'll entertain a motion for approval then.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All 4?
Aye.
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 Yes.
I think that was enough, wasn't it, Chris?
How about you, Chair Leifer?
I'm a yes.
Okay. We have one abstention.
Okay. Well, I'll ask if there's anybody. I know we got somebody on the line there. I'll ask if we've got somebody that wants to address us on something other than what's on our agenda this evening. That's item number 3 on our agenda. Not hearing anything, we will then move on into item number 4, the community meeting. I'm going to turn the floor over to Chris on that subject.
Yeah, let me pull up a presentation here. So give me 1 second, please. Can everybody see that okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the downtown master plan study area. And as part of adopting a planned action, we're required to have a community meeting. And so just to start out, I wanted to just remind everybody the boundary that we're talking about for the planned action. And it's essentially the south, EB Slough, and then follows down First Street there and up 47th and then to Armagh Road to Grove and then over to Ash. So that's our study area boundary. So what is a planned action? So a planned action is essentially you do your environmental impact review up front. And what that does is it allows for predictability for people wanting to develop within the boundary there. So you identify any environmental impacts there may be, what those impacts, how you mitigate for those impacts. And so as part of adopting the planned action, it adds predictability to the applicant because when they come in, they already know that, hey, I just got to meet these certain development standards. I don't have to go through a separate environmental review process. All I need to do is demonstrate that I've complied with the mitigation measures that's outlined in the planned action that was adopted with the master plan. So that's essentially what it is. And it, developers really like it because again, it just adds for predictability without some of those unknown things where somebody could appeal your environmental determination or other things like that. So it's actually works out really well. We did a planned action for the 2009 plan as well, downtown master plan. And the only thing that wasn't included was the remediation for the waterfront. So we've actually had to do individual environmental review for remediation and fill and anything that's down on the waterfront there itself. So, but everything else like the civic campus and other improvements were all rolled into the planned action that was adopted in 2009. So this is really an update. And it's something that adds predictability to development. So RCW 4321C 440 requires us to have at least one community meeting before adopting a planned action. So it's not real specific in there, but it says you have to have one, and you're required to notice it to all affected federally recognized tribal governments. And so we sent that out to the list that's included actually in our community development block grant. So all the tribes within the state of Washington received the notice. And then all agencies with jurisdictions over the future development anticipated for the planned action. So that include, you know, your service providers, as well as all the people that have commented previously on the 2015 comprehensive plan. So anyways, it went out to a wide reach of folks. We haven't received any comments or any requests to provide comments to you tonight, but this is part of the community meeting. Oops. Next slide. So as part of the proposed action and alternatives in the SEIS and the planned action, there was a no action alternative, which basically just keep everything status quo the way it is. And then there was an action alternative, which included increased mixed use commercial, middle housing, and affordable housing ownership and rental opportunities near the future Swift bus rapid transit. And then a new form-based code is part of that as well, which you the Planning Commission will be reviewing the form-based code regulations here in upcoming meeting. So the framework of the action alternative included infill and redevelopment of Town Center Mall, 3rd and 2nd Street, Old Town Small Business Support and Public Realm Improvements, improvements to State Avenue and 4th Street related to appearance and streetscape, redevelopment of the waterfront, Civic Center Hub and area redevelopment. So they actually did a case study down right near where the Civic Center is being constructed right now, and there is feasibility to construct something there. It meets the mixed use standards and all that. Historic 3rd Street neighborhood housing opportunities in a historic form. So kind of keep the character of the neighborhoods in the downtown, but allow for additional housing opportunities. Redevelopment of Asbury Field, and then potentially neighborhood infill. We know that Totem Elementary at one particular time is going to be either redeveloped or move to another location. So that property will likely get redeveloped in the future. We just don't know when at this time. Then Liberty Neighborhood infill and mid-block connections. That's kind of in the northeast portion of the sub area. And to make sure some of those blocks that are missing those connections can be filled in. And then the North State Avenue, Grove Street redevelopment and mid-block connections, again, up in that area, kind of the Northwest corridor there. And then the BNSF Sliver and Beach Avenue neighborhood, just flexible uses there. I mean, you're really near, like the railway, you're near I-5, allow for flexible uses there, which we currently do as well. And then also multimodal ped and bicycle opportunities. So this is the action alternative map. So you see the numbers on the map, and that coincides to the numbers on the previous slide. And I sent you the presentation earlier, so you can flip back and forth between those two after our meeting and just kind of see what areas we're talking about there when it relates to the numbers relate to this map specifically. So, and then this is the proposed land use alternative. So the red would be the downtown core. Then you got the Main Street, which is the Opera House is, and then, you know, 3rd Street, 2nd Street, all that, you know, over to Columbia Avenue there. So that's kind of the Main Street area. Then we got all the mixed use zone areas and then flex. So we just talked about there's flex with, and then flex with residential overlay. So anything along the highway, we're not wanting to see, you know, residential necessarily there, just because of the impacts of air quality and other things like that. But we'll have a residential overlay in these other flex areas that are up there. And then you've got your different middle housing. So mid-rise, multifamily, this is, and it coincides a lot with what the existing zoning is. And then middle one and middle two. So middle two is a little bit higher zoning than the middle one. So the impacts and mitigation measures that were analyzed in the SEIS included surface water and water resources, land and shoreline use and aesthetics, socioeconomics, transportation, public surface and utilities. So the link I provided you has all of those outlined, and you received that previously when we workshop the downtown master plan and SEIS. So this isn't new information for the Planning Commission, but it's just again, the requirement to hold the community meeting. And so with that, next steps, we have tonight, which is a community meeting. We're gonna respond to all the public comments on the draft plan and supplemental EIS, which we're currently doing. We're gonna finalize the SEIS, review the draft form-based codes, that's coming to you shortly. And then prepare the draft plan to action ordinance, and then finalize the draft plan, and then ultimately hold a meeting before the Planning Commission, you know, a public hearing, and then ultimately bring that to City Council based on your recommendation. And everything needs to be adopted before October 15th of 2021. So we've got a pretty tight timeline and a lot of stuff to squeeze in, which leads me to my next question for this fine group is that I know typically we have August off, and we may need to hold some meetings in August, and they don't necessarily need to be on a Tuesday per se, but I think we're going to probably need to have at least two meetings in August. And so would the best way to do that is send out kind of a doodle poll or something like that to see when you might be available on certain days in August to potentially hold meetings, and then figure out what everybody's availability is. I know that's the, you know, the prime time for people's vacation and other things like that. So we're going to need a quorum. So, and we want everybody to be able to participate. So that's my community meeting spiel, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah. Chris, just out of curiosity, how many comments has the city received on the draft plan from the community?
Not much. Some positive things that we received, some comments related to bicycle connectivity from similar people that we hear from. And a lot of it was the comments were from staff. So I would say all in all, less than 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, you know, we did a big public outreach. And so a lot of the comments that came in were under that original blanket for we did that online survey and all that stuff. And so all that stuff got incorporated in, and those have already been addressed in the draft plan and the SEIS, those response to all those comments. And so all that stuff was actually incorporated into the plan. So those ones have been addressed, but there's several related to staff members and I think a couple other jurisdictions, and that just maybe a sprinkle of actual true public comments that we received.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, I got just a simple question about flex. How broad is that zone? What, remind me again of what all we can put in there.
Well, let me pull it up because I'm not going to remember off the top of my head for sure. So let me close this down. So if you have any other questions while I'm finding this, I'd be happy to answer.
I had a kind of a clarification question. On the Liberty infill element, you know, a lot of that area around Liberty Elementary, it's all single family homes. What is implied by the statement of infill with that?
Yeah, so there's several larger lots that are in there that you may be able to put, you know, triplexes, things back behind some of these single family homes. It's already zoned for that right now.
Okay.
But the new zoning designations are going to allow for bigger flexibility. Right now, you're kind of encumbered by widths for fire and parking requirements and all those things. And so in order to really increase the density in downtown and allow for people to take advantage of, you know, biking and bus rapid transit, to allow more flexibility by, you know, sprinkling the buildings for fire and all that. So we recently there was a townhome that was built down there on 47th, just west of Armor there. It's kind of a interesting purple color or something like that. And but things like that. And so they actually did, the consultants did a study to see how some of these lots, because some of them are skinny and long, and how can you fit things in there? And so we actually did like a pro forma analysis of that, and that was included in the plan itself, and just showed how you could take advantage of increasing the density on your own lot. And the other things that could occur as well is that middle housing portion, right, where you're allowed to do duplexes, triplexes, duplexes on corners, you know, just so long fourplexes, you know, make sure that they look like single family homes if they're in that, you know, that neighborhood, but you're increasing the density and allowing for opportunity for affordable rental rates and affordable, you know, actually if you condominiumize them, you can actually purchase them. So that's really the infill that we're talking about, because it's mostly developed out, as you'd say. So
yeah. Okay.
Follow up on that, say you got a house there with, I don't know, acre and a half or acre or whatever, but then you want to put a triplex or a fourplex behind it. Does that have to be platted?
No, you could condominiumize it for sure. So yeah, you wouldn't have to plat necessarily. You could do a condo, but most people are wanting those fee simple lots. But like, for instance, that new townhome that went in, they condominiumized it. It wasn't a subdivision. If you do a subdivision, you have to start meeting, you know, widths and depths and things like that. And it doesn't work out so swell. So most people, you're just going to see that there's multiple units on single lots.
So then the existing house becomes a condo as well?
Yeah. So either attach it or detached or yeah.
Okay.
So looking at the draft plan, it looks like the uses that are allowed in the flex. Well, maybe I can just share my screen again here. You see that okay?
Yep.
So here's the flex zone. So the different types of land uses: light industrial, commercial, small workshops, manufacturing, flex techs, and then uses that would be prohibitive are residential, outdoor storage and sales, heavy industrial, noise exhaust, etc., drive-throughs. So then it gives some kind of examples of different flex type buildings there. Okay. And then flex with the residential overlay would allow for multifamily, and then all the other stuff that's allowed in the flex zone. So you're going to probably see a mix of uses, right? Within that flex with the residential overlay, you're going to see things that might look like this, but maybe there's artisan buildings and other things that are associated with them in there. So
do we have the flexibility to just do the residential without any one of those other shops or one of those other uses with it or under it?
Yes. You can do anything you want. You can do both or one or the other, so it's really just a flexible zone to let the market dictate what wants to go in there. And, you know, if you look at the hodgepodge of uses that are there right now, you know, that it's kind of fitting for, you know, that, you know, creating that zoning designation. Right now it's all mixed use or GC, right, where you're stuck into certain, you can only do certain uses. And so this is going to open it up to people that can, you know, do other different artisan and craft things and stuff like that that are going to be compatible with their neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Any other questions of Chris on that subject? And you've covered it well, Chris.
Well, perfect. Well, we've done our requirement of our community meeting, and I appreciate the Planning Commission holding that for us and keeps us semi on track. And just quick question again, and maybe just if I can hear from you, what is somebody just completely out in August, or is there any flexibility for having meetings? I'm trying to, you know, schedule this thing out a little bit. And again, I can send out a doodle poll or whatever else. I just want to know if there's certain dates or weeks or something that just isn't going to work for anybody.
Chris, the third week in August, that won't work for me.
Okay.
But that doesn't really line up with our normal meeting schedule, so that should be fine.
Correct. Yeah, and I'm gone the, let's see here. Yeah, I'm gone the fourth week, so. Or wait, yeah, the fourth week. So. Unless they open the border, then I'll be around, because then I'll go fishing in Canada instead of up to Sitka.
Anyway, Chris, this is Roger, and at this time, I haven't got any conflict in August, and I'll try to keep open for what your needs are.
Perfect. Thank you, Roger. Well, I'll send some out. Let me get a calendar thing going, and I'll send out some dates to everybody in a poll, and we'll just see who's available on those dates. And maybe we could even do something like the 31st, which is the fifth week in August, if we need to, for a hearing or anything like that. So I'll send out some dates. Tuesdays are normally the best for everybody, I assume, or is would a Wednesday or just another date, you know, a day in the week, work as well, or should we just try to stick for the Tuesday dates?
Actually, I'd be fine with a Wednesday or. Well, I guess the council was on Monday, but if Monday or Wednesday, it worked for me as well.
Yeah, the only meeting that they don't have, so the council doesn't meet in August at all. So if Mondays are fine with the group, then Mondays work perfect for me. So maybe I'll send out some Monday, Tuesday dates or something, and then see what we got. Or is Monday not good for some of the group?
Monday, Tuesdays are fine for me.
Okay, great. Okay. So I'll get a doodle poll going and we'll see when everybody can make certain dates work, and then we'll pick the best dates. Appreciate it.
Good. And before we go too much,
I give you all that, we give you all that time off, and then we really want you when it gets sunny out.
Was that by design?
No. No.
Hey, before we get too far ahead here, you mentioned that Peter had something to address us on. I thought you said item two, but.
So it's for the comp plan amendment. So yeah, I'll do a little, once we move on to that, and if Peter wants to address the planning commission, he's more than welcome to do so, but I'll go ahead and give you a little background information on the proposal, and then, take any questions you have, and if Peter wants to address.
So it's item five and not two that he was referring to.
I meant new item two. So yeah, I didn't call it out correctly on the item number, but yeah, you're correct. Number five. So we're all done with the community meeting stuff, I assume.
I have nothing further.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to share my screen again. Can you all see that okay? The Cascade Industrial Center map?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we reviewed the Cascade, it's called Cascade Business Park now, but industrial, so it's been lots of names, but anyways, it's known in our files, the Cascade Business Park binding site plan. And so that's, which has been approved, and it's a subdivision of about 300 and some acres into about 3 million square feet of industrial space. And you can see the parcels that were part of this entire development. And the parcel we're talking about is the one down here on the south end, and it's zoned single family residential. And here's a map of that parcel. And so surrounding uses, let me pull that up real quick for you. So it's this parcel here. And surrounding uses include, there's an espresso stand across the street here. There's this, it's been a bunch of different names. I always knew it as Eagle Point, but I think it's, I can't remember what the name it is now, but this is a large condominium, single family condominium development with some multifamily up front. There's a large multifamily project being developed right here. And then we got the Emmanuel Church located here, and then obviously the railroad here. And then this has all been farmed. We know this is the Brutus properties over the years, and they've been farmed, you know, for as long as I can remember. And so it's just this parcel right here that they're proposing to do a comp plan map amendment and rezone to turn it into industrial. And I'll see if I can't find the, so here's the overall industrial park design. Now, I must say, as part of the binding site plan, none of these buildings were approved. Now, this is building one that was approved under a separate permit that they're under construction on right now. They actually do have grading for to do all the remediation work they're doing with the creek relocation. So they're doing that grading now. They've received a permit for that. But you can see the different buildings. So we got a building here. So these are all the lots that were created, a very large building here. And then down where the rezone request is, which is right down in this area, you can see a building comes across that line, an industrial building. So in order to do that, they would need to get a comprehensive plan map amendment and concurrent rezone to do that. And so that's something that the Planning Commission is going to have to weigh in on and then ultimately make a recommendation to council on.
Is that six per acre?
This is the 4.5 zone.
Oh, 4.5.
Yeah, let me go back to the other map here. Yeah, so this R4.5, 4.5 zone. There's some down south here. I think there's some duplex lots, and then I think there's some single families or what have you there. So anyways, pretty dense single family and multifamily just across the street. You got the railroad. We've got, you know, the old Timberbrook development there. Let me go back to the other map real quick. This was a newer subdivision. I'm going to forget the name of it. But nice homes in here. This was a project that was approved in the county. Well, they all were, but approved in the county. And it they did a pilot project for their stormwater. So all these open space things you see here, like cells for stormwater and all that. And they actually put as part of that development, you can kind of see it down here. They were supposed to provide access over to the park, but it was really eroding through here. And so, you know, we had right away down here on 145th. You can see the bridge that they put in to cross to get this neighborhood to be able to access Strawberry Fields Park. So the neighbors are, you know, it's posted no parking, but, you know, some folks park at the end of that right away or whatever, which is legal, but we've got a few complaints about that. But otherwise, the neighborhood's been really excited to be able to have that opportunity to have access without having to, you know, go down into the stream and jump over and all that stuff. So but that's the surrounding uses. We got the school district property here that's got the soccer fields on it. And, you know, staff doesn't have any recommendation for this currently right now. Just basically, we sent you a link to all the application materials, and part of that application materials really includes everything that was submitted with the overall project itself. So cultural resource analysis, the CEPA determination that we issued, the binding site plan approval that was granted by the city, and all the other traffic studies and things like that. So there's a lot of information in that file, and I just couldn't send you a stack, you know, 12 inches high of paper. So I'm hoping you had an opportunity to access it. If it's not, we'll try to find another way to get the information to you. There are some things in the application that I could probably send you electronically and or paper copies, but I can't get you the whole file. And again, most of the file is related to the overall development, not just this site-specific comprehensive plan map amendment. So But the information that's part of the actual comprehensive plan map amendment, I can email that to you, no problem, rather than sending a link if you're having difficulties with the link.
In the binding site plan on that southernmost parcel that we're looking at, it looked like there was a little bit of a footprint of a building extending onto it. But I had thought the proposal, I thought it was mentioned that there's going to be just, you know, a slew of medium density single family homes going into that area.
No, if that, I'd like to know where you saw that at.
Okay.
Yeah, because okay. That, you know, no, that's not the case. They're proposing. So you saw some building outlines. What the binding yes. site plan actually did was identify all the environmental impacts for full build out, but it didn't actually review and approve any on-site construction activity. So we just looked at, so what that means is that when they want to develop on a site, so say the site they want their industrial building that's currently zoned single family, obviously they need a change in land use to do it. And then secondly, they need to come into the city and go through an individual site plan review, so an industrial site plan review. So we would actually, even though the environmental impacts have been done, we still need to make sure it meets the form, right? So it meets all the different zoning requirements in the Smoky Point Master Plan. And then they can go out and construct it. So what was approved was really just a subdivision of the land. So they could go out and make all these road improvements and do all this stuff and then go in and subdivide it, you know, record an actual subdivision, creating these new lots that they've proposed. But when they come in, they're gonna still have to go through a site plan review to actually construct a building on all these other lots. Now, again, building one was approved under a separate application. It's called Cascade Commerce Center. And again, that one's currently under construction, like grading activity and other improvements going on right now.
Hey, Chris. So, what's the orientation of this property to, or how far away is it from the Cascade Industrial Zone area?
Okay, yeah, let me share my screen again real quick. And we will put on the zoning layers. Might take a minute. Now, I must say this property right here is currently outside of what's known as the Cascade Industrial Center. It's not part of the CIC. Now, other things might have to happen. If ultimately this is redesignated, then an expansion may be warranted, you know, through PSRC. And I don't know exactly what that mechanism is. Oops, maybe I didn't turn on the whole thing. There we go. So, but if I back up a little bit here, let's see if I can't do sub area. I know there's a sub area thing in here somewhere, master plan areas. See if that does it. Yeah, I don't think that gives the boundary, but the boundary of the Cascade Industrial Center is everything that's gray and everything that's red here all the way around. That's the boundary, not the brown, but everything that's gray, red, and this green, it's just that's buffer area for the creek. So,
And where is this parcel we're talking about in relationship to that?
It is just south. So let me scroll in here just a tad. So here we go. So here's that boundary. Here's the parcel right here. So we're just south of 152nd on the east side of 51st. So I don't know if you drive 51st very much. There's a little espresso stand right here. And then you've got the commissary right here, the armories right here, Salacia, that fish processing plant's being constructed right here, Kitsap tractors right here. So yeah, just when you head over the railroad tracks and you come up and there's this church right here on the right, it's that large, it's the field, and it feels all the same property, right? It's owned by the same floor, had been. Just we call it.
And that dark. That dark line that's right above the property, is that the boundary to the Cascade Industrial Park?
Correct. The boundary to the Cascade Industrial Center, which is what's known as a center through PSRC. So there's two different distinctions here. So the Cascade Industrial Center includes Arlington and Marysville, all our industrial lands. And then the Cascade Business Park is a separate project within the boundaries of the Cascade Industrial Center, minus this piece right here, which is outside of the CIC.
Wouldn't it, it doesn't make sense to make an addendum to the Cascade Park and include it in that zone?
So in order to do so, you would need, this parcel would need to change land uses. And so that's what they've proposed. They've proposed, you have an opportunity once a year to, as part of the docket process, they call it, to apply to the city for a comprehensive plan text amendment or a comprehensive plan map amendment. And they proposed a map amendment, which would, they're proposing to change this from the existing single family designation that it is to the light industrial designation. They are going to be having a neighborhood meeting. I believe it is on July 19th. And I will make sure when we get a copy of the notice, and I'll have Peter hopefully send it over to me or Mr. Toyer, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it as well as access to the meeting itself, so you can log in and listen in to see what the neighbors have to say. I think that would be good for the Planning Commission to do so, and that'll be conducted through Zoom as well. So I have the Zoom portal right now. I just don't have the formal invite. And so as soon as I get the formal invite, that's going to be sent out to the neighborhood. We just supplied the applicant with the mailing list that we sent out for the notice of application for this proposal. And so they'll be sending the notice out shortly. And Peter can probably let us know when that might go out.
Thank you.
Chris, what's the deadline for comp plan amendments or on expansions or changes in zones and so forth?
Normally by the end of the year, you get the calendar year, but there's, you can take it past the calendar year. So, you can only change it once a year. Now that doesn't apply to sub-area plans and other things like that, but it does apply for actually changing your existing comprehensive plan, any text or map amendments or anything else like that. You can only do it once a year, unless it's an emergency or it's part of an adoption of a sub-area plan. That's per GMA.
Is there any other things submitted or that you're aware of on the change of zone?
Staff has some work to do. Inclusion? Yeah, Chair Leifer, staff has some work to do. And let me scroll out here a little bit. I don't think we're going to make this calendar year just because the development community's got us overloaded, which is a good thing. And, we had talked about in the Growth Management Task Force as well as Economic Development Committee meeting about redesignating maybe some of these parcels that aren't fronting Smoky Point Boulevard. You recall that, Chair Leifer?
Yeah.
So that would be part of that as well. But we got work to do in order to bring that forward. And I don't know that we'll get to that this calendar year, but we are committed to look at that and bring that forward.
So that's the only substantial one that you're aware of, or there just no others other than that?
Yeah, the Public Works had a minor thing they wanted to do to the sewer plan, and they've actually, I think it was the water plan, excuse me, and they've decided to hold off on it because, again, they were having difficulty. We lost a lot of staff and trying to restaff up, and it's just they haven't had time to work on it and get it in. Mm-hmm. So that's the only one we have this year, the one you're seeing today. Okay.
On while we're on that subject, any winds blowing on requests for expansion of boundaries, GMA?
No. So the buildable lands report has been recommended for approval by Snohomish County tomorrow. Based on that, if it gets approved by the county council, then it will that will shape. Then the county council has to actually allocate the population to cities And then that will give us an opportunity to look at, okay, what do we have? What do we have capacity for? Do we need to do zoning changes or anything else? So we'll have to go through the reasonable use process if we can't fit the employment and population capacity based on the numbers that are assigned to us by Snohomish County Council. So we don't know what those numbers are yet. We anticipate getting them sometime in September, I believe, was the timeline. And then we have to start doing our analysis. So we're really, really going to ramp up on the comp plan. You know, the 2024 update here by the end of the year, we'll be really rolling on it. So,
yeah, okay.
So I'm really just looking to see if the Planning Commission has any questions or needs any additional information related to the proposal today. If not, that's fine. We've got lots of time, and we'll bring it back to you as staff has an opportunity to review it a little bit more closely. We're out for public review, so I think we're supposed to get comments back the second week of July, or I think the 9th, I think, was the date from both both staff and other agencies, as well as the public. We'll see what comes out of the public meeting on the 19th as well. So we won't get anything back to you probably until the September, October timeframe. But again, we'll make sure you get the invite to the neighborhood meeting. It'd be good to, even if you don't show your face or anything, just to call in, listen in, and just kind of see what the neighbors are saying.
I guess out of curiosity, this parcel of land, was it pursued by earlier developers from the earlier property owners? And if so, was it for, you know, industrial uses, or was it, you know, pursued more for future residential, which is what the zoning would have been back then?
Yeah, there's nothing that's been submitted to the city in the 20 years I've been there for that particular property. It's just been farmed.
Okay.
Utilities got there about 10 years ago now. There are some improvements that are going to be happening with that multifamily development's going in. They're going to put in a hawk signal, which is that flashing beacon to allow you to cross the street. They're going to relocate the bus stop where it currently is. It's kind of real skinny there and everything. So there are some improvements that are going to happen right at that location for pedestrian, just to get across the street to be able to get to the bus stop, and then have a little bit more of a refuge area as well as part of where the bus stop's going to be located. So so that was a positive thing that came out of that multifamily development. But we haven't had any inquiries on this until the Cascade Business Park. No, North Point's the name of the company. Since they, when they picked it up, that's when the interest came. And again, it was under similar ownership as the parcel to the north. And so they purchased both properties, and I believe they assumed that it had the same zoning designation, but it just didn't, and it didn't come out till late in the review process that there was a different zoning designation, thus the application for a change in land use.
Okay.
Chris, a question just kind of related to this. Is there any change in thought about the 51st Street higher volume requirements or wider road or anything?
That's a great question, because we just got a Transpo. Arlington and the city of Marysville contracted with Transpo, which is a traffic engineering firm, to look at the road network system up there. Because with the development that was occurring in Arlington, specifically the Amazon site and other things, some of our our grid network was left out. So after meeting with Arlington, we commissioned a third party to go out and look at it to ensure that whatever develops out there, we're going to have that connectivity, right? Where you don't have to necessarily use 51st or whatever. We need that grid system to work. And what does that look like? And so I think that'll be finalized sometime next week, and I'd be happy to share it with the Planning Commission. But as far as anything south of 152nd, being widened to additional lanes at this point, no, that hasn't been looked at or analyzed. And there's just so many other projects in the city that you know, the cost of right of way and getting and just being going through mostly residential areas. We're going to try to get everybody to, you know, go out to the new interchange at 156. Ultimately, the hope is that 152nd goes up to Highway 9. So we got to make sure that, especially that industrial area, everything to the north, we have a good grid system to support all that industrial development up there. But anything south of 152nd on 51st, no, it hasn't been looked at.
Well, that's good news. Thank you.
Any more questions on this Cascade Business Park?
Peter, did you have maybe give your name and address for the record, and maybe you had some information about the neighborhood meeting when the notices might be going out, or any other information you want to share?
We put together the card that we're going to send out and everything yesterday, and it's out to North Point to review. So it should be done in the next day or so. So we'll get that to you as soon as it is.
Perfect. Thank you.
Did you have any comments to make regarding anything that's gone on with the city council, Chris?
No, but yeah, Haley might. Any council updates for the group? You're on mute. No, not working.
Can't hear anything.
Technical difficulties.
Well, you know, when you go from, you know, the office to your house, and it seems that, you know, it picks a certain speaker or a microphone, and sometimes it makes it tough to.
Did that one work?
It did.
Okay. Sorry. It was, yeah, what Chris said. So is there a specific topic, Commissioner Leifer, that you wanted to cover for council, or just council in general?
Oh, just, you know, we got that item on the agenda. Just curious if there's anything that we should be aware of that's being discussed that might impact what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so recently we had, there's a development going on that, a subdivision going on in town that some people had come to council with concerns about, and, you know, that's reviewed by the hearing examiner, and the hearing examiner renders the final decision on that. So council just kind of felt lately like they were left out of some of the development review processes, so they did want to, you know, start looking at the code changes a little closer. So we have been using the Economic Development Committee as kind of a quasi planning committee for council, and I think it's kind of morphing into that more and more as we go. So if there's some code changes that the Planning Commission passes through, for example, hopefully the boundary line adjustment agreements that may warrant more of a discussion with council, we're planning on taking that to the Economic Development Committee first to have a smaller meeting with the group to kind of cover the ins and outs, because, you know, the Planning Commission will spend several months sometimes working on these items. And if we take it to the full council right of way, you know, it takes them longer to digest it, obviously, because it's just a lot of information. So they're interested in kind of keeping up on that. Fireworks has been a big discussion at council recently. So, you know, no fireworks are allowed in the city limits. And the last few years, I think the police department has been, you know, pretty, I don't want to say accommodating, but they have given, you know, warnings. And I think this year they're going to maybe start ticketing more. It's up to the discretion of the officer, but just remind your friends and family and neighbors, if they are lighting fireworks this year, it is illegal and you could get up to a $500 ticket. There's also a pallet shelter being proposed over at Generations Church. I'm forgetting the street number it's on. That
528 and 83rd.
528 and 83rd?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. So that is that is considered a transitory accommodation use. And currently the code allows this for 90 days. It's been kind of a hot button issue lately. The neighborhood isn't thrilled, as you could maybe imagine. And this is going to be a pilot program. It has 8 pallet shelters and 2 people per the shelter, but it's not what most people would think of a homeless camp, where, you know, you drive through bigger cities and see people congregating under bridges. This is a different crowd of people. It's people that would be heavily screened through a process, and there would be someone on site 24/7 monitoring it. So you may hear about that as you're talking to the community. And if you do, just have them reach out to me and I can kind of talk them through that. They are potentially wanting to allow this as a permanent use, and I believe it's under Title 22, so it would be going to the Planning Commission. So after this pallet shelter is in operation for 45 days, staff would then make a determination and formulate a recommendation, whether it be approval or denial, or simply saying we need more time to review this and bring the recommendation forward to the Planning Commission to look at. And I'm bringing that up, I know you asked about council, but I'm bringing that up because I know that council is very interested in this process and they've been reached out to pretty extensively.
Sorry, Haley. What corner of 83rd and 528 is it? I know there's a church there at the corner. Is it across the street?
It's in the church parking lot, actually. So the church is putting on this program, basically.
Okay. And it's called a pallet shelter?
Yes. If you go to northcountyoutreach.org, Outlook. What would I do without you, Chris? Northcountyoutlook.org or .com, and you can find all the information on there. And if you want the frequently asked question sheet, I can send it to you. But might be something that you want to follow, just because it will be coming to you probably in the next 6 months or so. So something to kind of maybe look. I know that once it gets to you, if it does, there will be lots of interest in it. So it'll be something that you'll want to maybe read up on beforehand, or maybe not. We can also keep you up to date too. Council, let's see here. The 6-year transportation improvement program was adopted. So there's different projects, and I think that's available on the website, the different projects the city has going on in the next 6 years. I think I don't have those memorized, unfortunately. But it would be good to maybe look through those and see kind of what's coming up the pipeline. Just be aware of what's going on around town, because there's a lot of projects going on. So, and I think that might be it. Oh, one more thing. City Council wanted to look at the notification rules. So that might be going to Planning Commission too, depending on which chapter that's in. I'm not sure which chapter it's in, but Council wanted to review the 30-foot rule, where city staff sends out notifications for a lot of different projects in the code that require notification to people within 300 feet. And I think the city council is wanting to extend that area for at least some projects that may be more political or larger. So we were thinking of maybe scaling it to a certain level. And I don't think there's really a perfect solution for notifications. There's no magic number. If you send it to everybody in the city, everyone stops reading the notices. Or if you don't send it to enough people, they're going to be upset they didn't get the notices. So it's almost a policy decision at that point. So they'll be looking at that. And then that could be going to the Planning Commission if the procedures chapter is something under your purview. So that's all that I have for recently. And I can start taking better notes at the council meetings and sending you updates too, because I'm starting to send them to staff as well. So
I had just a quick follow-up on that rundown, Haley. Was that plant that you referred to that they were having some issues with, was that that Holbrook that we had a notification of from Chris?
Yes, it was Holbrook. So the main access goes through an existing neighborhood. I think it's called Berrywood, and it's a pretty narrow street to begin with. And they park on both sides. And so there's 77 homes being added, basically going to be using that thoroughfare through. So there's just concerns, but you know, it goes to the hearing examiner. So if you know, I don't know how many people have approached the Planning Commission, but I know people had reached out to City Council, which is totally great. But the hearing examiner is really the appropriate person to route those comments to, because he'll be reviewing it against the code. But you're right, it is Hallbrook. So.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, just to let, I think you all got my response to the individual that commented today, and they were going to listen in and or attend the Planning Commission meeting. So I just tried to let them know what the process was and all that. And they did respond again back to me. I blind copied the Planning Commission because Janice had sent that to you. And I didn't want to give your email addresses out to everybody since it's not a city email address. So you were blind copied on my response. So hopefully you received that and it makes sense. So
anyway, it's an access issue, not a zone density issue. It's just perceived issues with too much traffic through a narrow avenue, huh?
Yeah, perceived issue with access is accurate.
And just to let you know that there will be a, which I think was covered in my email, but there's going to be an upcoming neighborhood meeting associated with that. If you're interested, we can make sure you're included in that. If you want to get information about it, or just know what the neighborhood's concerns are, even though it won't be coming to the Planning Commission, but I'd be happy to send anything to you if you'd like it.
Well, I think we've covered our agenda. If there isn't any other, comments or questions from anybody?
Chair Leifer, I just want to introduce Thane Smith. He's with North Point. He's the developer of the Cascade Business Park, and he's the applicant for the amendment before you tonight. I guess before we leave, maybe if Thane wanted to address the Planning Commission on that item, he's more than welcome to do so. But looks like, he's still there.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you very much, Chris. And I apologize. I had one of those time zone challenges. I thought this meeting was starting here at 7 o'clock. So I was at my time. I thought I was right on time being 6 o'clock your time, but I'm an hour late. So I apologize for being late. But thank you very much for hearing this issue. It's an important issue to us. We're developing about 426 acres and 10 of those acres need to be rezoned from residential to industrial for our business park. And we're very appreciative of you hearing this. And hopefully we'll have support for this rezone. We're starting the process right now of realigning and relocating Edgecombe Creek as part of this entire project. And it's gonna be a habitat restoration that will provide, we're hoping, a very nice fishery habitat for many years to come as we develop this property and then preserve the fisheries there. So anyway, if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to respond to anything.
Any questions of Thane?
No questions here. Thank you.
I have one, I guess, not just to do with that little 10-acre piece or whatever it is for the rezone, but do you have a projected timeline for completion of your entire proposed project? Or is that based on market uptake and just general economic conditions? I guess what I'm basically curious are, they just going to go forth and put all that space up on spec, or are you going to kind of just feel the market through?
It'll be a combination of both. Already we've got a spec building. It's building one. We intend to construct that over the next year, a year and a half or so. There are some major challenges in construction right now, especially in the Seattle area, with regard to pricing of products and materials. I like steel and wood, some of the primary components that we use for construction. So we'll build that building on spec, but we've been marketing the property, and we really can't do much until Edgecombe Creek is relocated. But once Edgecombe Creek is relocated, we expect that there will be some build-to-suit projects as well. We've had several light manufacturers that we've proposed on battery manufacturers, those sorts of things. So we're hoping that as we are able to open it up, because again, we can't do anything with Edgecombe Creek running through the property until we get that relocated. We're not going to be able to put in any of the larger buildings that we believe are going to be, you know, more attractive to the market than the smaller format buildings.
What's your projected time to complete Edgecombe Creek realignment?
Edgecombe Creek, we're hoping, we're starting construction right now. We're hoping that between the two BNSF rail crossings, one on the north and one on the south, on the east side of that project, we should be constructed this year. There is about 2 miles of stream restoration that we're going to be putting in associated with this. And we've got to cross the roadway at 152nd with a 22-foot culvert. So we're going to take that culvert that's about 36 inches in diameter now and increase the capacity of it dramatically to 22 feet across in width. And that's going to be a better fish habitat long term. And so that'll happen. We're working with city staff right now to get the final approval, final comments, and we've, you know, ordering materials so we can have that done this year. We expect it by the end of maybe September, September 15th to September 30th is when we expect that Edgecombe Creek will be relocated. We might have some more work next year on the BNSF rail crossings because we don't have BNSF approval yet to put those crossings in. But we'll probably do that as a part of next year's improvements. And then as far as build out goes, we expect that somewhere between maybe 6 years and 10 years, we'll build out the project and have it fully completed.
Okay. Hey, just for curiosity, has the tribe signed off on your grand plan on the relocations and culverts of that Edgecombe?
So what was your question? Is who signed up? The tribes?
Yeah, oh, Tulalip, yes. Tribes, other tribes. I was just curious if you got all them on board with your culvert designs and all that.
Yes. So what we did, we met with them in the very beginning and started talking about what they'd like to see. They requested a special scientist called a fluvial geomorphologist design the stream. And so we hired, they're hard to come by, they're hard to find, but we found one. And he's been working very closely with the tribes along with their environmental consultants, Soundview. We received the what's called the CZM, and I forget the acronym for that, for what that means, but it's an issuance from the Department of Ecology that it's a concurrence on water quality. Earlier this week, we got a letter from the Department of Ecology also with 401 certification, water quality certification. So we got those two designations. Those were necessary for us to get the individual permit for the Corps of Engineers. So we've been queued up with the Corps of Engineers, the UMass Army Corps of Engineers. We expect that that individual permit will be issued next week. And with that issuance, we'll have one more. The Division of Fish and Wildlife within Washington State also has to sign off on what's called an HPA. Once we have those, we don't have any further approvals from state or federal agencies. But they all had to come in, and they're kind of circular in nature. They're dependent on each other. So we're very, you know, very pleased that the tribes are supportive in that process, because without their support, quite frankly, we wouldn't have gotten all these departments and federal governments on board. Because there's about four or five federal agencies that had to sign off on this. Besides the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, there was the EPA, NOAA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and another couple of different agencies that all signed off on the relocation. So we're very pleased that everyone was excited and supportive of the restoration of this wonderful stream that runs through there. Right now, it looks just like a ditch. But there are fish in it, and we hope that the habitat we construct is going to, you know, provide for a much better fish habitat long term.
Thanks for the update.
You're welcome. Thank you for your support.
Well, has anybody got anything else? We're about ready to wind down here. If I don't hear any more.
Just a different matter question. Is there any update on the appointment to the Planning Commission?
I think it just recently closed. Haley, have you heard anything from the mayor's office on that?
Not yet. I think they're looking through the applications, so nothing yet.
Thank you.
Well, do I hear any kind of a motion for adjournment?
I'll move that we close the Planning Commission meeting of June 22nd, 2021.
Do we have a second on that?
I'll second it.
Well, then the meeting is hereby closed.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
See you next time.
Thank you.